first Finance Committee, and it's great to see everybody on Zoom and in person here. I'd like to again thank Tom Bottorn for being here. Eric Naumann is going to be through Zoom until we can get him back in this chair. We miss him, but he's absolutely available for any questions and testifying or any answers. And I'd like to welcome Kennedy and Alex for our pages and our assistants here. Thank you so much. We have one bill before us, members, Senate File 2677. It's the Unemployment Trust Fund Bill. Senator Pratt and your co-authors are Senator Rarick, Senator Duckworth, and myself. So we will turn that over to you, and we do have some testifiers, too. Senator Pratt, welcome.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I did want to start off by thanking all of the co-authors and recognize that Senator Putnam has also agreed to join the bill. Oh. It's been very important to me that this be a bipartisan bill, and so having both bipartisan authors here in the Senate as well as the House, I think, is a testament to the strength of what we're doing. Madam Chair, certainly we know that the impacts of the pandemic and the recession have been well documented. And with the number of, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get some things up here. And Senate File 2677 tries to address some of those impacts. We know that the unemployment system was hit extremely hard. In fact, it was hit even harder than it was during the Great Recession. And during the Great Recession, we had a number of, hold on a second. Let me just kind of skip away from some of my prepared remarks and just say 2677 is a pretty simple bill. It spends $2.7 billion to repay a debt that we owe to the federal government. We're currently at about $1.2 billion that we owe for paying out unemployment benefits. It covers the interest that we owe on that debt. We're currently racking up about $50,000 worth of interest today, and it replenishes the unemployment trust fund to a level that's sustainable. We started this pandemic at a $1.7 billion surplus, and we took it down to a $1.4 billion deficit. That sounds like a lot, and it is. In fact, during the Great Recession, that was only $700 million. So we went twice as far in debt as we would have, as we did during the Great Recession. And then it replenishes the fund to what we expect to be about $1.3 billion, is what we call the sustainable level. So it's below where we started off pre-pandemic. Just a few facts. Governor Walz last week called the unemployment system one of the greatest anti-poverty tools that we had during the pandemic recession. Oops, I accidentally hit the little speakerphone. Over 1.3 million applications were submitted compared to 200,000 applications in 2019. We paid out over $14.8 billion in benefits. That compares to about $800 million that previous year. And we averaged over 10,000 new claims a week during March and April. And we took a lot of actions to help curb the impact of this recession. As this committee well knows, we put forward three different grant programs to help small business keep plywood out of the windows while their doors were locked. We extended unemployment benefits for workers who were laid off for an extended period of time. And we just recently extended presumption for our working in the work comp system to that are most at risk of catching COVID on the job. Not only that, we streamlined the unemployment system benefits to remove some of the barriers that are normally there, a one-week waiting period, having to look for work, because we knew that this was such an unusual situation. All of that led to where we're at today. I've been talking to Deed and Representative Dorr throughout the interim, and we've discussed the situation with this debt and the impact it'll have to employers. I was really pleased to see the governor include this in his budget priorities, because it shows that we're coming together on this topic. Without this action, Deed estimates that it'll take us over 10 years to recover from the debt and replenish the fund to a point where we're not increasing taxes on employers. And let me just stop on that for a moment. The unemployment system is funded through a payroll tax. And when we dip below a certain level of reserves, we increase the premium, just like your homeowner's insurance, your car insurance would do. But because we owe the debt, we're adding an additional surcharge to pay the federal government off, and then we're adding an additional surcharge in order to pay the interest on that debt. And oh, by the way, employers that are today getting a tax credit for the amount of money that they're putting into the Minnesota unemployment system will lose those tax credits because we no longer because we have to pay back that debt even faster. So, Madam Chair, that is essentially the bill and the reasons behind it. And I'm not sure which amendment you would like me to start with. Amendment 5.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Actually, I think I'll turn to Casey Mum first, our fiscal analyst, just to run through that, and then we'll go to the amendment after Ms. Doyle-Fontaine also. Okay, Mr. Mum, are you available?
Madam Chair, would you like me to walk through the amendment?
Do you want to walk through anything in the bill that you should, and then we'll go to the amendment? But.
No, I think Senator Pratt covered the mechanics of it, and I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. And Ms. Fontaine is available for questions, too. Senator Pratt, we posted the A3 amendment last night, but before us is the A4 amendment. And that has been posted as of this morning. So if we could have Mr. Nauman, would you like to go through the differences in the A3 and A4 amendment, please?
Sure, Madam Chair. Perhaps it would also make sense for me to just describe what the A4 does, and then if you'd like, I can describe the differences and why that became necessary to have two posted amendments. The bill, as it came into the Finance Committee, appropriated $2.73 billion from the general fund for the purposes that Senator Pratt has just identified. The recommended amendment that is before the committee at this point does a couple of important things. On line 1.3, it adjusts the funds from which the appropriations are made. So 2.321526, very precise number, is appropriated from the State Fiscal Recovery Fund. And $408.5 million is appropriated from the general fund. So this rebalances where the money is coming from. Members will recall that the legislature and the governor agreed to a budget agreement last June that set aside a significant amount of resources, a little over $1.1 billion, as part of the agreement from the SFRF last year. And members will be quick to say, hey, that the amount on line 1.3 exceeds the amount that was set aside. And that is because on line 1.8, the state fiscal recovery revenue replacement resources are removed from the general fund, brought back into the state fiscal recovery fund, and then appropriated with this bill.
Thank you.
So that's the purpose of the amendment. In terms of your question at the outset, Madam Chair, the differences were that we did a little bit more accounting later in the afternoon and figured out that that the amendment over-appropriated in line 1.3 from the State Fiscal Recovery Fund. And so to get the numbers exactly tidy, there was about $11.8 million that needed to move from the State Fiscal Recovery Fund appropriation to the general fund appropriation. So we think we've got the balance correct at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. Any questions? Can you hear me? Yeah, you can hear me, right? Any questions?
Madam Chair, sorry, I can't find my raise hand function.
You know, it takes a while to get used to this again, right? Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On this point about the funds, so by combining these two funds, Mr. Nauman, does this essentially take care of and use all of the available federal funds that we had set aside? And so if there are other COVID-related things, we're on our own. That's what I, can you explain some of that?
Sure,
Mr. Nauman.
Madam Chair and Senator, it does. That is the principle behind the amendment here, is to use all the State Fiscal Recovery Fund money that remains in the Senate position to basically spend it on an allowable expense, unemployment insurance, and then in the process remove the revenue replacement from the general fund, because I think the theory being that there's less need for that money from the budget agreement, which was used to stabilize the overall budgetary balance at the time.
Okay. Senator Kent, okay. Further questions? Senator Pratt, would you like to move your A4 amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the A4 amendment.
Okay, thank you. Members, thumbs up, audio on. All those in favor of the A4 amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Amendment passes. Okay, get the hang of this yet. It's a little clunky this morning, isn't it? Are there any further questions to Senate File 26?
Yes. Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Marty.
Yeah, just one quick question about the repealer one. Which fund was that and how much is left in it? Did we, that fund put into the other one is now the 2.321 million?
Yes, and Mr. Nauman, if you'd like to take a stab or I could.
It's your preference, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Nauman.
Okay. So, Madam Chair and Senator Barty, I recognize I went over this very quickly. As part of the budget agreement last spring, the negotiators agreed to use what's called revenue replacement. In other words, taking State Fiscal Recovery Fund dollars and bringing those into the general fund and using that to support overall budgetary balance. That was done at the time because the level of spending and taxes within the general fund required additional resources. So this was a permitted use available to all states that accepted State Fiscal Recovery Fund dollars. And in Minnesota, $633.1 million was booked in fiscal 23, and $550 million was booked in fiscal 24, those dollars from the State Fiscal Recovery Fund. Now, if you flash forward to the November forecast, the budgetary balance is now $7.7 billion, and I think it's the feeling of the author of the amendment and the finance chair that it's preferable to reverse that decision and spend that money instead on an allowable expense unemployment insurance. So I'm making this a longer story than I needed to, but essentially putting that money back in the State Fiscal Recovery Fund and then appropriating it to the unemployment insurance fund. And that's what the amendment does with a lot more detail than you probably want.
So Madam Chair, just to understand for
Senator
sure
Marty.
That Chapter 12, Article 5, Section 3 is that, and the money you're putting in there gives the total balance of the $2.3 billion that we're doing. So now they're both wiped out. Both funds are, in effect, gone, right?
Madam Chair, Senator Marty, maybe you can expand on that. When you say both funds,
The one in Article 5, Section 3, and again, I can't remember what that one is called, and the money now.
I see.
That's already in the state fiscal recovery fund. They're both wiped out now with this.
Now I understand.
Mr. Nauman.
Madam Chair, Senator Marty, now I understand what you were saying. So there was it's all one fund.
Right.
The general fund used state fiscal recovery fund money. The repealer that you're describing in the amendment brings back into the state fiscal recovery fund the money that was put into the general fund for revenue replacement, expanding that balance to 2.3,
whatever,
a little less than 2.3, and then is appropriated directly from on line 1.3 of the amendment. It appropriates the money directly from the state fiscal recovery fund.
That's what I thought. I was just
Senator
trying to
Marty.
Clarify that. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Good. We do have the Commissioner Grove with us. Welcome, Commissioner.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good to see you this morning.
Good to see you too. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me to be here, and we wanted to just show up and express our enthusiasm and support for this package. We think it's critical. We thank the Senate for moving quickly on this. I want to personally thank Senator Pratt, who has all along the pathway of this pandemic really worked hard with the Department on unemployment insurance issues far and wide. And this is the final and most important one that we see handling this session, which is to replenish that trust fund. And as you saw in the governor's budget, put $2.73 billion into that fund such that we can ensure no tax increases on businesses across Minnesota. And we can, again, thank the workers who suffered so greatly during the pandemic and were able to use unemployment insurance benefits to get by. So we're in big favor of this. Just to put this in perspective for the committee, I think we've all seen the stats, but about 900,000 workers in Minnesota took advantage of unemployment insurance throughout the pandemic. That's about one in five workers in the state. So it's just a stunning number of folks who took advantage of this really important program really to keep their lives moving during a challenging time. And that's almost $15 billion that the state put out through our unemployment insurance program. I want to thank our team for getting that done. It was a Herculean effort. And of course, a lot of that money was federal funding, but of course, some of it was state funding. And that's why this is just so important to get right. To put that in perspective, that's about 350 million bags of groceries that could have been paid for with that money. About $18 million in monthly rent payments. So this is real money for real people, and we're grateful for the Finance Committee moving quickly on this. Chair Rosen, to your leadership and leadership of this committee, I just want to join today to thank you all for moving quickly on this, to affirm the governor's support and partnership on this piece of our negotiations this legislative session. And with that, Chair Rosen, I'm happy to answer any questions folks might have, in particular about the unemployment insurance program or any other ways that I can help. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner, for being here and for your support on this and your working relationship with the chair, too. We have Senator Lopez-Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Grove, thank you for being here. And as a small business owner, I understand the importance of this fund. And I carried a bill to lower the rate back in 2013 as a freshman because our unemployment insurance fund was flush with cash. We're obviously in a different environment now when we need to make it whole. My question to you is, given that this bill also lowers the rates for employers, are we out of line, or maybe are you seeing other states doing this same kind of a package of not only fulfilling or filling the unemployment insurance deficit, paying off the federal loan, but also lowering the rate at the rate that this bill does? I'm just concerned that we might be here in another wave of whatever comes our way, and that our fund is still not flush and ready to handle the input or the strain that we just experienced. We hope we never get there again, but just want to make sure that we're being responsible and thoughtful about the rate that we're setting in the future. Can you elaborate a little bit about that, please?
Commissioner Grove.
Chair Rosen, Senator Franzen, it's an excellent question and a really important thing to make sure this committee gets right. We are doing through this package, the Senator is doing through this package, exactly what about 30 other states have done to make sure that their unemployment insurance funds are on a pathway to solvency. So when we, I guess to put that in perspective, the magic number we should think about here is $1.3 billion in the positive. If we can put $2.73 billion in this fund, we'll have $1.3 billion positive in the fund such that we can return tax rates to their normal rate, in other words, not raise them, and continue to replenish the trust fund at the rate that is required to meet workers' needs with the normal sort of ups and downs of an unemployment insurance system. Again, we're in sort of a post-pandemic phase of unemployment insurance. None of those policies or tweaks that we made during the pandemic to take care of the extraordinary demand remain. We're back to normal, if you will. And so putting these tax rates where they would have otherwise been, as this bill does, is what other states have done too. Other states have different mechanisms for this. This is a federal program that different states run slightly differently. But we believe the pathway outlined here is the right way to ensure we can keep the trust fund in great shape for workers moving forward and for businesses moving forward, and also avoid having to hike those taxes, which I think is the key goal of this this package.
Senator Lopez, Brenson. Good. Okay. Any further comments? Questions? Okay. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you, Senator Pratt, for bringing this forward. Maybe you can answer the question. The $50,000 per day interest that's going against this, can you tell me when that bleeding does stop? I mean, does it stop today, or does this have to pass the House, and does the governor have to sign it before that stops? And that's taken right out of the general fund, is that correct?
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, and I think this is a question that Commissioner Grove and I can both answer. He probably has more of the descriptions. We owe the debt, and just like any debt, any loan, we're charged interest on that loan. We stop being charged interest once we pay off the debt, once we pay off the interest, and. So by passing it today, we continue to move it along, but we do need the House to pass a clean unemployment bill. And as Commissioner Groves stated, we are in line with the governor's request in his budget priorities. So the Senate and the governor are aligned together, and we need the House to take this up quickly. Commissioner, I believe there's a date of March 15th that we've estimated in using in determining the amount that we're requesting. Is that correct?
Commissioner Grove.
Sure, Rosen, Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senator Pratt, that's exactly right. March 15th, it's the Ides of March, for those who remember, is the date actually at which we need to ensure that we make this change such that the tax rates wouldn't have to go up, because that's kind of the last date at which we could stop sending those official bills out to employers. And to your question on the interest, Senator Pratt is right. We owe that until we've paid off that trust fund debt. Just a further point of a detail there, that interest is paid by employers, not by the general fund. So we put a special assessment on the tax bills of employers for unemployment insurance that the Commissioner of Deed and the Commissioner of MMB have to work with the Treasury Department on every year. And those employers who are paying that extra special assessment to pay the interest on the debt, not the general fund.
Thank
you. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Quick follow-up comment, so thank you. And that's exactly where I was going. This is a three-way street, and hopefully the House is going to move quickly here get this done in agreements with not only the Senate, but the governor as well. Thank you. Thanks again, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen. Senator Lopez Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I forgot one more question I had about the fund, and it was alluded to earlier that we actually expanded the scope of unemployment insurance in terms of who qualified for it during the pandemic. For obvious reasons, we want to make sure we supported all the workers that were experiencing closures, et cetera, and layoffs, et cetera. To Commissioner Grove, can you talk a little bit more about that too, in terms of the opportunity that we would have to expand unemployment insurance? I know that some of these areas, like I'm thinking bus drivers and paraprofessionals in the school setting, that reimburse our fund. Some of them do when they take money out. Is there a moment in time that we can do that now if we're going to include and change the scope of our unemployment insurance fund? And what would it take for us to do that?
Commissioner Grove.
Chair Rosen, Senator Friends, and it's a great discussion, and I'll just take us back to last session when one of the major policy provisions that Senator Pratt, myself, Senator Rarick, Chair Representative Eklund, and Chair Knorr worked on in the Jaws bill was to right-size unemployment insurance for helping students and seniors access the program in ways that really modernize the system. COVID really did demonstrate some real cracks in how unemployment insurance works just nationally, and I think a lot of states kind of thought about what they should do next. And I'm grateful that we were able to partner with the legislature on making some changes last session that really made the program work for those who deserve those benefits in times of need. In terms of further expansions and discussions on ways we could continue to evolve the system, I think there's a great marketplace of ideas out there. We should have those discussions with legislators to determine the way forward. I think this particular package obviously just focuses on the trust fund debt component, but we welcome further conversations on what should be done moving forward to make sure the system works for Minnesota.
Senator Lopez-Brunson. Good.
I think just for the record, I think we should be taking this moment to look at those opportunities and including them in this discussion. I know that you mentioned the other body, and I know those discussions are more, they're happening with more intensity in the House, and I hope the Senate can take part in those conversations and potentially build this trust fund to really serve the demands that it has in this new workplace and that we set ourselves up for success in the future. So I hope we can have those debates here in the Senate as well and not just fix the problem at hand, but look for other opportunities to improve upon our great program. And I want to do commend your staff and the leadership there and the fact that Minnesota had a great unemployment insurance fund and program unlike many other states. So thank you again for all your efforts.
Yes, thank you very much, Commissioner. You and your staff have been great through all this. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Senator Pratt, for bringing this bill forward. I think it needs to get done. Right now, we're kind of at a high water mark, I think, as far as employment is concerned. We're probably getting everybody we can that will be working in. And I think if history is any guide, we're going to see demands on this fund grow again in the not-too-distant future. So I think this needs to get done very soon. I just had a question about kind of the math of this bill, and I don't want to prolong it. I think we're all in agreement this needs to get done. But prior to March 13th or the pandemic when this started, was the fund at $1.3 billion and kind of that self-sustaining level?
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Johnson. The fund was closer to $1.7 billion, and that's closer to what would be considered fully reserved. But in statute, and as we've worked with the commissioner and his department, we believe 1.3 is statutorily where we need to be in that fund balance to be considered sustainable and moving. And then hopefully we'll continue to build upon those funds even with the lower tax rate. We currently have more job openings than we have job applicants right now, so I expect that with an extremely low unemployment rate today, we'll start to see that fund continue to grow once we get past this this debt.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then just for math's sake, so if we started with $1.7 billion, can you kind of go through the maybe this is a question for Commissioner Grove, but go through the math of our liabilities for those benefits paid during that two-year time. Was that over, roughly $3 billion then over the last 2 years of benefits paid out?
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Johnson, as the Commissioner said, we spent nearly $15 billion in benefits. I think the Commissioner would be better to walk through the math.
Commissioner Grove.
Chair Rosen, Senator Pratt, Senator Johnson, great question, and we can do a deeper dive here if useful. Senator Pratt's right, it was almost $15 billion that we spent, and most of those dollars came from those federal programs. You'll remember the $600 top-off, the extension benefits, expanding the program to help the self-employed and individual contractors. So The program put a lot of money out that was federal money, but of course that standard state benefits still applied. And so that $1.7 billion surplus we had going in continued to decrease over time. And then we went into debt. And we can walk through the specifics of how those taxes work, but once you're in debt, you're pulling in money from the federal government. Up through September of last year, that money was actually interest-free because we were in that sort of pandemic state. But as the federal programs triggered off last fall, we moved into a place where we started to owe interest on that debt. And so today the debt's around $1.2 billion. It fluctuates, of course, based on the point of the quarter that you're at and whether you've taken in your tax receipts for that quarter. We suspect by the time we need to move forward on this, we'll be closer to about a $1.5 billion debt. And so we can walk through that in greater detail if you like, but the ultimate math comes out to a number of 2.73 that we would need to ensure taxes don't increase, and we are very confident in that number.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Grove, so was that the $15 billion worth of benefit, was that all funneled through the unemployment fund then? Or are you taking the federal dollars and our UI fund and combining those two to get that $15 billion number?
Commissioner Grove.
Chair Rosen, Senator Johnson, so it depends on the point we're at during the pandemic. Of course, for state benefits, we pulled out on state funds. For federal benefits, we pulled down on federal funds. There was also a unique period of the pandemic where we were pulling down on some money encumbered from FEMA through something called the Lost Wages Assistance Program that President Trump put forward by executive order. So there were a lot of different funding sources that helped Minnesotans, but all of it did funnel through our system. And so that $15 billion number is just important to keep in mind in terms of just the scope and scale of what this all meant for Minnesota workers. And the federal money dwarfed the state money, to be sure. And I'll say this, that any moment we possibly could ensure that we used federal money rather than state, we did. Senator Pratt and Representative Knorr and I and several others in December of 2020 worked to pass a potential extension of state benefits when we thought the federal benefits were going to run out. We were still in crisis. But the minute the federal government got up to speed and did the same, we swapped out that legislation and made sure we were pulling down our federal money. So, I think the state math roughly is about $1.7 billion as a starting balance, about $1 billion in UI taxes collected during that period, because of course we continue to collect the appropriate taxes. And then you have to take out about $4 billion in state benefits that we paid through that time as well. So, these are large numbers and a huge amount of shifting in funding, but the program held up to it. And now we need to move forward and take care of this so we can ensure no employer in the state has to pay increased taxes for helping Minnesota workers during the pandemic.
Senator Johnson, good.
I'm good. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Pratt, do you have comments? Yours, PR. Okay. All right. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner Grove. Senator Pratt, thank you for working together to bring a timely solution. I just want to be clear, Commissioner Grove, if there are provisions about adding other populations to the unemployment trust fund or changing those who are covered, that would slow this language down. And Senator Pratt, if you would comment on that as well. So Commissioner Grove, if we start adding things to this, it does slow down the ability to make this trust fund whole.
Senator Pratt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I thought she had asked Senator, Commissioner Grove.
Commissioner first, Grove, but, yeah, first. Yeah.
But
he didn't look like he was off the,
no,
the mute.
Yeah, no, Senator Rosen, Senator Pratt, Senator Benson, and I won't speak to the legislative process. I can just tell you that the governor's package for unemployment insurance includes this provision alone.
Thank you.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With that, I want to thank Senator Pratt for bringing something clean, straightforward, focused on solving the problem at hand, and I'd request a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. A roll call will be granted.
Madam Chair. Just
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Benson's point, I want to thank the governor. He's been in public strongly supporting a clean bill going forward. So I'm hoping the House is listening and we can get something done very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Time is up. We do not want to waste money on interest. We don't want to be paying the feds any more money than we have to on this. Senator Kiffmeyer, you had your hand up, but now it's down. And up.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. But Senator Benson and Senator Johnson, I think we were all along the same thinking. Question answered. We're good to go. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Senator Marty.
Thank you, Madam Madam Chair, I appreciate the importance of addressing the concerns of business community. I also want us, want the majority to remember the importance of taking care of the workers who also suffered very much during the pandemic. And I understand that's a separate issue, but I also think we're talking about $2.7 billion here. I think we have to be talking about some substantial funding to help the workers who are hurt as well. So I understand it's a separate issue, but we also are, we have to address that issue as well. And I hope we don't say, okay, we did the work with this and we're done.
Senator Pratt.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, thank you for that, Senator Marty. I think what we have to recognize is this deficit was not caused by employers. Many of them had to lay off people because they were required through the stay-at-home orders to shut down, and we all understood at the beginning of the pandemic, we weren't quite sure what was going on. But every dollar paid out went to workers, went to employees. Not a single dollar went to benefit employers. All of this money went to workers. And now what we're doing is we're asking the employers to step back and replenish the fund with an increased tax rate. So to say that this is a benefit or a help or a handout to the business owners, I think misstates the current situation. Because this was a benefit to employees. And the whole purpose of doing this is to shore up the system, so it's there and sustainable and reliable for employees, as Senator Johnson said. In case we have another run on this fund, we've got those monies in reserve to handle it. And so I have a different perspective than Senator Marty does on this issue.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Marty?
Yeah, and I did not say this was a subsidy. I did not argue we should not do it. I'm simply saying that there are a lot of people who were workers required to work. They weren't able to participate in this. They took risks of their lives, and a lot of them, they were just out of pay for a couple weeks if they had to quarantine or if they caught COVID and so on. I've heard so many hard stories of people who don't have any reserves to go into and so on. I'm just saying that they also need some help, and I think we should not forget them. I did not say this was an unfair subsidy to business or anything of the sort. I'm not challenging what you're saying in the characterization, because yeah, unemployment insurance is very important, and it goes, as you and the commissioner and many others have said, it goes to workers. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that there are other people who were hurt. Some of the lowest income people were hurt very hard, and they didn't have a choice because they were essential and they didn't get this chance. So I just think we should keep that in mind as well. That's separate from this, but it's related in the sense that it's all state dollars that are going into this. So I just want to make that point. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying I didn't call this a subsidy.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Marty just spoke very eloquently on his own behalf, so I'm not going to speak for him, but I did want to address one thing that was said. And nobody here is saying that these layoffs were caused by employers. That is absolutely could not be farther from the truth. I think we all understand what happened. We know, because we've all heard it in our own communities, how hard this has been for business owners. We get that. And, you know, speaking for myself, this is an important measure that we need to take. But we've talked a lot about how workers and working families were hurt. How about how they're still hurting? You know, we've got folks working in very many frontline parts of our economy right now and our workforce that are still struggling. They're exhausted, they're drained. It's our schools, it's our healthcare system. It's, you know, it's in so many facets of our society. And you think about the way things like, I mean, and I hear this from business owners all the time, one of the biggest challenges they're facing right now is staffing. They're having a hard time finding people to work, but that's because people are having a hard time getting back to work when their kids are constantly having to stay home for a few days because of a COVID outbreak in their classroom. And so somebody's got to be home with those kids because they can't be around other kids in that moment. People who are taking care of older family members, because we know that the care is much more difficult to come by than it had been. And the fact is, a lot of these systems were already on the brink before we had COVID, And what COVID did was blew it all up and just demonstrated where these fault lines are. And going back to something that Leader Lopez Franzen said earlier, she's exactly right. This is a moment where we should be looking at things that were not working in 2019 and are clearly still not working in 2022 and think about what can we do. That's what we're saying. We need to make sure that we are having the conversation. This is important. This is necessary. It is not sufficient to the job that we all need to be doing as leaders in the state of Minnesota for the people that we represent. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Kent. Well, this is where the discussion starts. My hope is that we can get this bill signed quickly by March 15th, get this done out. Many pressing issues that will be addressed in this committee. Members, we have a February forecast coming up in a couple weeks, and so it'll be quite interesting to see those new numbers. There is some hesitancy from some of the economic advisors pumping the brakes just a little bit, so it'll be interesting to see what we have to work with going forward. But as you said very eloquently too, there are many pressing issues out there, but this is a priority and we need to get this done. And Commissioner Grove, thank you again for being here and thank you for your support and your working relationship, very much appreciated. Final comments, if there are no more further questions. Senator Pratt, anything else you'd like to wrap up with?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to reiterate and thank Commissioner Grove for his, you know, for his work and partnership on this as well. We wouldn't be sitting here today if we weren't coming to some agreement along the line and trying to pass a clean bill. In fact, I saw the governor in Almanac last week who reiterated to those folks that, you know, we shouldn't be trading for this. We need to get this done, and we need to get it done soon. Every day that we waste is a day that we're spending additional money that's not going to the UI Trust Fund, that's not going to help shore up the program, is going to pay interest on this debt. And I think we need to get this moved quickly to make sure that Minnesota workers are protected in the event that they face an unplanned, unexpected loss of employment, to make sure that our Minnesota families are strong and sustainable at the time when they most need it and are most in crisis. And so, Madam Chair, I'll take your direction on the proper motion.
Okay. Senator Pratt moves Senate File 2677 as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to general orders. Members, a roll call has been requested. A roll call granted. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Rosen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ingebrigtsen?
Aye.
Senator Marty?
Aye.
Senator Benson?
Aye.
Senator Champion?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Kent?
Aye.
Senator Kiffmeyer?
Aye.
Senator Franzen, or Lopez Franzen?
Aye.
Senator Pratt?
Aye.
There being 10 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is sent to the floor. Thank you very much, Senator Pratt. Nice job. I did want to say tomorrow, members, we have a hearing at 8:30 again. We're going to go over the law enforcement promotion bill, Senator Housley's bill, and we will have a presentation from MMB related to our state debt and the federal funds. So come with questions, and with that, we are adjourned.